Well, I want to give you a snapshot of my day on Monday. This past Monday. Months ago, I read through the Apostle John's first letter at the back of the New Testament, and I was struck by the number of times that John was emphatically Christ-centered in the content of that little letter at the back of the New Testament. You read 1 John, and you can pretty much put to rest, from the Bible's point of view, any questions about whether salvation and eternal life rest in anyone or anything other than faith in Christ, what he's done for us on the cross, and his resurrection. And so I want to just give you a sampling from 1 John of this, beginning with the second chapter, the 23rd verse. I just want you to note, in all these verses I'm going to give you, from this one little letter, the back of the New Testament, how just emphatically Christ is the center. No one who denies the Son is the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And then, chapter 4, verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. Next, chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. There's a strong statement there of the Trinity, too. Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And then here's the most cut and dry one of all, from the 5th chapter, verses 11 and 12. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now that one really grabbed me. If you have the Son, in other words, if you're in relationship with Christ through faith, you have eternal life. If you're not in that relationship, if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And I'm going, man, you know, how we need life in our relationships that can get stale, in our attitudes that can become negative and cynical. How we need life in this battle to stay balanced. How we need life in our careers and vocations that can go through not so good seasons. How we need life in our spiritual perspective that can become so blurred. So the Son has to be central in our lives in order to have life. In order to have life eternal. Anyway, months ago, I decided that sometime I would preach on the centrality of Christ from 1 John. And then a couple weeks ago, as my sermon series on children was coming to a close, I decided that I would preach on 1 John this Sunday, today. So I began work on that on Monday. And about 30 minutes into my preparations on Monday, I realized that I had selected an impossibly broad subject. I mean, I was all over the map, and the countdown to Sunday had begun, so I called a friend, and I just tell you this to give you an idea of the power of intercession. I called a friend, you know, feeling in this place of, how am I going to boil this down to one message? And, just all over the place. So I called a friend and just asked this friend to pray, and by late afternoon on Monday, I started to get a fix on how to narrow this impossibly broad subject down into one message. So here goes. I'm only going to cover a couple of great things that happen for us as we live out the reality of Christ being central in our lives. The first great thing concerns us as individuals. The second great thing I'm going to talk about concerns the church. Now, to call out those two great things, I'm going to turn to Paul's concise yet very comprehensive description of the centrality of Christ from Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. Hear God's word. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The image of the invisible God, that just refers to the fact he's the exact representation of the Father. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. By Christ all things were created. Christ and the Father are one. By him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I think that's probably the most concise and comprehensive description of the centrality of Christ in the whole Bible. And I just want to take two verses now. I want to come back to two verses. Back to verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In that verse is one great thing for us as individuals, as Christ is put at the center of our lives. In the speed and clutter of living today, and in the accumulation of all these activities and work schedules that cumulatively drive one to exhaustion, our lives can unravel bit by bit. You heard of the concept of entropy? Our lives unravel bit by bit, and we need Jesus to hold things together, to hold our lives together. Jesus will do that as we live out the reality of Christ being central. He is central. It's up to us to live out that reality. And as we do that, he holds our lives together. Jesus said, seek first, the things of the kingdom of God, and the rest of what you need will be yours as well. That's Matthew 6, verse 33. Now, a couple of applications. Try reading God's word and enjoying some solitude and prayer, listening for the quiet voice of the Spirit in lieu of watching your favorite TV program or surfing the web, and see if that makes a difference. Make a priority of feeding the soul by doing something in your routine 1 hour less a week, and investing that hour a week in a ministry that God has designed you for, and see if life becomes more integrated and purposeful. I'm just saying, that 1 hour can easily become 2 hours and 3 hours as you find new purpose in your life. Last Sunday, we showed the movie that kicks off our Lenten focus on Isaiah 58. And in this movie, some of you saw it, many of you saw it, hopefully, an ex-cop was interviewed. And this ex-cop has now entered the dangerous work of doing justice in the sex trafficking industry in India. And he's being interviewed, and he spoke with such passion about how this decision is the best decision he ever made, and how he had found now his God-given purpose, and now he's as happy, he's the happiest he's ever been in his life. When Jesus is placed at the center of our lives, and life choices, our choices and decisions are dictated by that, even as those choices and decisions often mean a step outside our comfort zones, he holds our lives together. And not only that, but expands them into the further fruitfulness of being more closely aligned in his purposes. So that's the first great thing that happens for us as individuals when we live out the reality of Christ as central in our lives. Our lives are held together and expanded into greater fruitfulness. Okay, for the second great thing that happens for us as we live out the reality of Christ at the center, and this one concerns the church, we turn to verse 18 of Colossians 1. And I'm really going to just deal with the first part. And he is the head of the body, the church. Just that. And he is the head of the body, the church. See, now, the more we apprehend that, and the more we live out that reality in our life together as Wyndham Presbyterian Church, the better we're going to get. And the more spiritual renewal will be happening in our congregation. The head of the church is not the pastor. The head of the church is not the session. The session is, for those of you who are new to the church, that's the governing body of elders. Head of the church is not the session. Head of the church is not the congregation or any group within the congregation. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. Now, what does a church look like that is living out the reality of Jesus at the center, Jesus as the head of the church? When that is actually being lived out, what does that congregation look like? The rest of this message is about that. First of all, there's unity in the body. For in Christ, all things hold together, and particularly the church. There will always be a diversity of views and beliefs about secondary things, theologically, but there will always be unity in the primary things, captured in large part by the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. So in a congregation where we are living out together the reality that Christ is the head of the church, there will be unity in the primary things, always. In a church where Christ is central, there is a hunger to worship our head. There's a hunger to be here on Sunday mornings and whenever else the community of faith gathers to worship corporately. It's the community of the thirsty coming to the well to drink, without which there is spiritual dryness and stagnation. There's a hunger in the body for God to speak through his word and through the community of faithful believers. There's a hunger to listen to what Christ has to say to us and to discern his will together and to live out that will together. There's a hunger and thirst for that when we're living out the reality together of Jesus as head of the church. There's a hunger in the body for God to speak. There's a hunger in the body to listen to what he has to say to us. There's a deep desire to speak to him through prayer. Both as individuals and as a community. So in a congregation where that is living out the reality of Christ as head of the church, there are groups forming all the time to study God's word, to pray, to support one another in the challenges of life. That is a life priority in a congregation that is living out the reality of Jesus as head of the church. It just is a life priority. Furthermore, people in the body are asking not what their church can do for them. Rather, you can finish the rest of the sentence. Rather, they are asking what they can do for their church in service and ministry for the glory of God. In a congregation that is living out the reality of Christ's head, there's a growing heart for the broader mission of the church to preach good news to the poor, to loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, to spend ourselves on behalf of the needy. There is passion to bring people outside the body to faith in Christ. People need the Lord in our community. And that's why we're here. So, and all these points I've been making are just listed in your outline. I want you to have them. I want you to take those home. I want you to look at those. Because it's simply the truth. That is what it is. So two great things for starters as we live out the reality of Jesus at the center. Two things. For us as individuals, our lives are held together amid the very forces that would threaten to unravel us. And for us as a congregation, full-blown, spiritual renewal and revival is right around the corner in the ways I've just been speaking about. And that's the way it is. February 17th, 2013. So we're bringing in John Kennedy, Walter Cronkite. All right. Heavenly Father, may your spirit move powerfully in the weeks and months ahead, inspiring and motivating and empowering us to live out the reality of the centrality of your Son. Name.